We're going to begin in Cairo this hour. The election results, preliminary though they are, suggest that Egypt's political future lies beyond a looming confrontation between the military, holding on to transitional power, and Islamist parties who seem to be constructing an electoral majority in the future parliament. But this morning in Cairo, Egyptian women are demonstrating that they are a force to be reckoned with, despite an uncertain level of direct representation in Egypt's emerging institutions. The latest events stem from video footage of a woman protester in Cairo being repeatedly beaten and stamped upon this week by Egyptian soldiers. The brutal images struck a powerful nerve, conveying the vulnerability of women in Egyptian society, and produced a show of solidarity on Cairo's streets yesterday in what some historians are calling the largest women's demonstration in modern Egyptian history. Joining us once again, Noelle King, a reporter based in Cairo. Good morning, Noelle.
Good morning, John.
So it appears that yesterday on this program, you said, and I was really struck by it, that the politics in Egypt right now are the Islamists versus the military. Suddenly, women seem to be demanding they want room in this political debate as well. What's going on?
Well, I wouldn't say it suddenly. Here's the evolution over the past couple of months. Women played a really important role in this country's revolution in January and February. They stood on the front line. They helped organize the protests. After Hosni Mubarak was toppled, some of the mainstream political discourse started to sort of circle around, now is the time to fix the country politically, but not to worry about women's rights, to worry about the inclusion of Islamist parties, to worry about an evolving democracy. But women's rights, in a sense, was shunted off to the side as a sort of fringe issue. What women seemed to be saying yesterday was, we are looking at a confrontation between the military and the Islamists. The Islamist parties are mainly male, although, of course, they have women constituents and supporters. But women seem to be saying, look, if there's no room for us, you better make room for us.
But yesterday, this demonstration, which was motivated by the video footage that I spoke about a moment ago, let's get a feel for the sentiments and the level of passions, because it does seem to have escalated on some level. Listen.
We are totally shocked because the army, which is supposed to protect the people and the country, are killing people, dragging their corpses. They have to go, they're traitors.
The army wants to kill the revolution now. We don't want any more any army in Egypt.
Voices speaking in English there of women in Cairo, courtesy of our partner, the BBC. Now, it's not the first time that the numbers of people who come into the streets in Tahrir Square has surprised all observers. Were people surprised by 10,000 protesters yesterday?
Well, I don't know if the number was quite as great as 10,000, but the numbers were surprising, and here's why. For the most part, again, the Women's Rights Initiative in Egypt is an upper-class, liberal, often fairly secular movement. What you saw yesterday were women who were veiled, women carrying babies, women who were very clearly middle-class or even poor. These are not the typical women who march in the streets in Egypt, even during the revolution. So to come out in favor and march in favor of women's rights, which, again, is often viewed as a fringe issue, it really is saying something. It's the reason it surprised analysts. It's the reason it surprised historians. It was a completely new face of the women's rights movement in Egypt yesterday.
And is that new face a result of seeing this video footage, or is there something else going on here?
Part of it is the video footage. One of the interesting things about the video was that because there are so many households in Egypt that don't have the internet, believe it or not, the video struck a real chord outside of Egypt, clearly in the United States, with Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, coming out and making the comments she did about the Egyptian army needing to back off a bit. In Egypt, the video was sort of circulated in internet cafes, but poor and middle-class women hadn't necessarily seen this video. A lot of them came out because they understood or seemed to understand that this was a moment. It was a moment for them to march in the streets and to not feel unsafe. Another striking thing about the protest yesterday was the 2,000 or so women were surrounded by a ring of men who were there to protect them. So in a sense, it opened a door for women yesterday. The video, certainly the spark that ignited this, but the numbers speak to something greater and deeper.
Well, it speaks to this general sense of vulnerability in Egyptian society, even though this coexistence, as you say, is a tradition that goes back centuries. Let's get that quote that you underscored of Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. She called the recent events in Egypt shocking. Women are being beaten and humiliated in the same streets where they risked their lives for the revolution only a few short months ago. And, you know, that was not necessarily an expected weigh-in by the Secretary of State. She was certainly responding to what the rest of the world was seeing. There's also someone here that I want you to assess her credibility, the Egyptian TV anchor Sharia Amin. She resigned back in February, we remember that, over her station's pro-Mubarak coverage of the revolution. But now she's speaking out on these issues. Listen.
This revolution was about dignity, and we feel that, you know, the police are continuing their brutality, and now the military is using these same brutal repressive tactics.
This recognizable TV anchor, a credible leader or just another face?
No, I think she is a credible leader in a lot of ways. Egyptian television personalities, reporters, journalists, and hosts were a big part of the revolution and have remained so to this day. People look at a woman like Shahira Amin, some of the poor or the middle class women, some of the women who are more rural. They know her face. They know her voice. So in a sense, a woman like that becomes, as an activist, becomes somebody that other women can look to and say, you know what? We know her and we've trusted her on television before. Now that she's speaking out, it's time for the rest of us to join in.
And it seems that she's taking it directly to the military. The Army, of course, has issued an apology for the brutal tactics that we spoke about on video regarding those two women protesters in Tahrir Square. But the Shahira Amin said yesterday it's too late.
Those that are implicated in these crimes aren't brought to justice. They aren't held to account. What is an apology? You kill people and then say, I'm sorry? That's not good enough.
So Shahira Amin, Noel King, says it's not good enough. Does the military have to respond to that?
No, they probably won't respond to that. But overwhelmingly, women in this country, especially in the activist community, do seem to feel that that apology, if you can call it that, the military said, we regret what happened. They didn't say we're sorry for what happened. They feel it was women feel it was a cynical move. It was a move designed to, again, to keep women at home and to keep them out of the streets. I don't particularly think that's going to work.
Where does it go from here, Noel, before we go?
Tomorrow, there's a call for new renewed protests in Tahrir Square. Friday will be a big indicator of how strong the activist community is tomorrow morning and afternoon.
Bringing us the spirit and the passion and the news from Cairo's Tahrir Square and Egypt, Noel King, reporter based in Cairo. Thanks, Noel.
Thank you, John.